he's the big wig over at Oasis. Well, Jesus is the big wig.
Hey, come on now.
But he's the man who is serving over there as a pastor at Oasis Church in Eau Claire. And you've been doing that for how long now? A year and a half?
A year and a half, yeah.
A year and a half. And there's already great things going on over there. And he was so kind just to take some time and spend some time with us. And I came ready to eat. Amen. Amen. So praise God.
Blessings to you. Right.
Thank you. Thank you. Are you, Pastor, are you okay if I move this thing down to the floor? Hey, that's what I was thinking. You get up close and personal here. You guys caught me on a good time. I'm going through a 21-day fast, so Lord knows what could happen tonight. Hey, honored to be here. I think it's just a God connection to be connected to your pastor and this church, and I agree, for such a time as this. Amen? You're here for such a time as this. You know God's got big plans for your life, right? You know, during the first song, one of the things I kept feeling is a spirit of joy. And I was feeling waves of God's presence, and I just kept feeling joy, joy, joy. And I think I'm hearing right now that this is going to be a house of joy. Come on. Hey, if you want to get depressed, just turn on CNN or Fox News or whatever. You'll get filled with all sorts of junk. But if you want to get joy, get close to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So, I promise I'm going to be done with my message by 12 o'clock, latest 1 o'clock a.m. Hey, so my name's Landon. My wife and I pastor in Eau Claire. We've been there a year and a half, and we're just seeing God do some amazing things in our heart. When we first started pastoring, the Lord spoke to me before we went there, and he said, Landon, buy running shoes and have your whole church wear running shoes your first Sunday. And he said, because you're going to be running at a speed you never ran before. An acceleration is going to come to you, and acceleration is going to come to the church. And so we put running shoes on, and on all my running shoes, I wrote Joshua 1:3, which says, every place you put your foot, I'm going to give you. And that's what we're called as the church, is to take back land that the enemy has stolen. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And the enemy is invading in every area. He's invading marriages. He's invading, attacking our kids. He's attacking everywhere. But God's raising up believers that walk with the power of the Lord. You're called to put fear in the spirit of fear. He's supposed to be afraid of you, not the other way around. Amen? And so excited to be here. God began to stir my heart. So the whole reason that I'm here is last year, there's a couple in our church that owns a bar, and they're in the process of selling it. And we went to go have dinner with them and just build a relationship because we're someone new to the church. And while we were there, I said, hey, what if before you sell the bar, we have a service here, and we just lift the name of Jesus up in this bar? And all the religious folk is getting really, rubbing you the wrong way here. But, you know, the Pharisees, one of the reasons why they hated Jesus is because he sat and ate with sinners. Is there any place Jesus would not go to win somebody for the Lord? So he said, sure, man, let's do it. And he's like, we've never done anything like that before. And so we went to this bar. We had our worship team come. And there's a bar right here. And there's a little hallway. And then there's a room. And the room fitted like maybe 150 people. And it was so packed, I had to squeeze through just to get to the stage. And that night, we were preaching about the love of Jesus. And there was guys coming over from the bar with beer in their hands, with tears coming down their face, giving their life to Jesus and finding hope in a bar in a small town right next to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I said, God, I think you're onto something. Maybe we're just going to go to different bars in small cities surrounding Eau Claire and preach the good news of Jesus. Well, another bar owner opened up their doors for us to come and do the exact same thing. And so we advertised across the city, and we did something we called a hope night. And you know what? The craziest thing is Jesus showed up there too. One of the intercessors had this vision during our first hope night at this bar in Chippewa Falls. She said she saw this serpent going across the floor, and then she saw Jesus grab it by the head and throw it out. And I imagine there's a lot of spirits in a bar. Some of the drinks are called spirits. Our second Hope Night, we went to Bloomer. The exact same thing happened. The Holy Spirit showed up. And so I'm like, okay, I think I know what the Lord's doing. He's going to have us go to different bars in different cities and do this. But then he changed it on me, because just about the time you think you know what God's doing, he's going to change it. And then he took us to a barn. And there was a barn that seated about 200 people in a small town called Fall Creek. And so we set up a stage. We invited the whole city. We did flyers across the whole city. We invited them. And there was 200 people that showed up to this barn, and we gave Jesus praise. People gave their life to the Lord. People got healed that night. People got set free that night. We've done 6 Hope Nights last year just like that. We went to a town called Stanley that had a historic movie theater. It seated 247 people. Close to 400 people showed up that night. We laid hands on over 200 people that night. People got saved, set free. It's like the Holy Spirit blew up in this theater in Stanley. I just want you to know, if God can do it there, he can do it here. Amen? He's already moving in a supernatural way. You're already in the right place. What I see is I hear the Lord saying it's like a spring, like when you're on the diving board and you go down right before you're about to be launched up. That's where I see this church at right now. And so I was praying into this next year, and this past year, on Tuesday nights, we do something very similar to you guys. And this past year, I heard the Lord say, Landon, focus on past revivals and revivalists. And so we've been doing studies like on Azusa Street Revival and Pensacola. We've been doing studies on, all sorts of revivals that we've been walking through. And one of the guys we were talking about was Reinhard Bonnke. Anybody ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke before? I love that guy. And we started just one night teaching and showing a video about his life. And God says, stay on Reinhard for a while. So about a month and a half, I've seen you before. Were you at the training? Okay. For about a month and a half, we were listening to messages of Reinhard Bonnke. And Reinhard has won more people to the Lord than anybody in history. He had crusades of over 1 million people giving their life to the Lord in one day. And God gave him this vision. He saw the blood of Jesus washing over the continent of Africa. And as I was studying about Reinhard, God gave me this same vision, and I saw the blood of Jesus washing over the state of Wisconsin. I want you to know that God's preparing this state for a mighty move of his Spirit. And there's this revival and awakening coming to the state of Wisconsin like you've never seen before. Half of you guys are excited about that. That's great. So I had this vision last year, and it was one of our services. I was laying down during worship, and I had this vision. I was in a car, and next to me was my friend Andrew Whalen, and Andrew's very prophetic, and I was sitting next to him, and in the driver's seat was Jesus, and it was like a muscle car, and I looked over at Jesus. I said, Jesus, where are we going? And he said, we're going to spread the fire. And I looked over to Andrew. He goes, yep, that's what Jesus said. Next thing I know, we're pulling into Lambeau Field in this vision. And the place is packed out. And I'm on the stage, and I see Aaron Rodgers there with two hands raised. And I lay hands on Aaron Rodgers, and he goes out in the Spirit. If there's anybody that needs Jesus, can I hear an amen? And then the next thing I see is there's this baptism tank, and there's this guy bound up. And he's in a straitjacket and chains, and somebody pushes him backward, and he falls into the baptism tank, and he comes out completely set free. No more chains, nothing holding him back. And God began to speak to me. He said, Landon, I want you to plan 10 Hope Nights in 2023 so that I can bring revival and awakening to cities across the state. And so the reason why I'm here is because last December, this past year, we were praying about, okay, God, if we know Green Bay is a key state, the eyes are on Green Bay. Green Bay is something special about this area. And what happens in Green Bay happens across the state. And it's definitely an idol city, too, for the state. You know, how is it that we can worship the Packers like crazy, but we're quiet when Jesus shows up? And so we like, well, maybe, God, you want us to rent out the stadium. And so we checked into that. Maybe you want us to rent out the atrium. And so we checked into that. But what we had the most peace about was right across the stadium, there's a place called a Rush Center. It's the Rush Expo. And we got a tour of that. And we feel like this is the place that we want you to have a hope night in Green Bay. And so we've rented out the Rush Expo. In November of this coming year, we're going to invite churches. Today, I've been meeting with your pastor. I've been meeting other pastors. Tomorrow, I'm meeting with pastors. And we're saying, God, here's what I see happening, is that there is a spirit called religion that's been over this state for a while. And I think what's going to kill the spirit of religion is the spirit of unity. And what I see happening is when churches begin to unite, those churches become like a stone that are placed in a sling that's going to slay the giant of religion. If there's one thing that Jesus came against the most, it's the Pharisee, Sadducee spirit. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
And so that's what we're planning. Like I told my wife, said, Kristen, we're so far out of the boat, there's no going back. There's what we're running after is so much bigger than us, but we know we serve a big God. And there's nothing like your pastors, there's nothing impossible with him. Last week, we went to La Crosse, and we had a tour of the La Crosse Arena, seats 5,000 people. We're going to be there in December. We're going to Superior. We're going to Wausau. We're going to 10 different cities that we prayed about. God, show us which cities you want us to go to. One of the cities we're going to is Hayward, and we feel like we're supposed to do a hope night and incorporate the Indian reservation there in Hayward. We're going to be meeting with the chief priest, the Indian chief of that area, and seeing how can we partner and how can we be a blessing to the Indian tribe there. But I say all this, that church, as usual, is changing this year. You know, if good preaching and great worship was going to change a city, cities would have already been changed. What we need is the Holy Spirit to move in power. And there's a lot of prophets saying God's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. And I was telling Pastor this earlier today. I think the new thing is the very first thing he released in the upper room of Acts. It's when the Holy Spirit fell in power and the church has gotten so far away from it, we've even come up with conferences on how man can build man church. You do this, you do this, you do this, like a business, and then bam, you have a great church. But sometimes you can be a mile wide, but an inch deep. I'm not after mega churches, I'm after mighty churches.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to share this one thing too. Be praying with us as we come up. Be praying that God connects us with the right people, influencers across the city, the right churches, and that God breathes upon this event. I just really feel something significant is going to happen in November here in Green Bay. I felt like I was supposed to release a prophetic word over this city. And right, Pastor Ben and I have another pastor friend named Pastor Jared. I'm sure many of you guys know Pastor Jared. And we're all praying for Pastor Jared. He's not right, but we all love him, you know? I've known Pastor Jared for 15, 20 years, a long time. And when he told me, hey, there's a pastor friend that I have, and he wanted to see if he'd be interested in speaking, I was like, whoa, absolutely, that would be awesome. And immediately I heard this word that God gave me for this church. And I told Pastor last week, but I want to share it with you. And it's found in 2 Samuel 23. And it talks about David's mighty men. And it begins to talk about Shammah. And it says, the Philistines banded together at a place that was full of a field of lentils. And Israel troops fled from them, but it says, but Shammah stood his ground in the middle of the field. And he defended it, he struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. At some point, Shammah had enough of the enemy invading his life. He's like, dude, forget this, I'm not running anymore. I'm going to stand and protect the ground that God's given me. And I feel the same thing for you. God's raising you up as a weapon in his hand, and he's going to use you to take back the land the devil has stolen. Come on now. He wants to use you to take back the areas in your past and your life that the devil has stolen, and he's going to redeem it. I also heard that this church is going to be known for raising up mighty warriors for the Lord, for raising up men and women who know how to kick the devil out of regions and out of families. And I also heard that the kids in this house will also be mighty warriors for the Lord. Come on, can we just give God a praise? I believe, like, we love everything that's happening with our church. We're seeing this past Sunday, we did an altar call, and we had so many people who were praying over. I took the worship team off the stage, said, just put worship music on. We need to lay hands on people. And for close to an hour, we were just praying over people. God's just moving in a supernatural way. We're seeing people get set free. We're seeing demons come out of people. There was one lady that we were counseling in our office. She was raised, her mother's a witch. Her father was a high priest Satanist in there in our area. She was a psychic, and she also did tarot cards. She came to our church, and one of the altar calls she came for salvation, and while she was being prayed for salvation, she begins to manifest in the middle of our altar. And our prayer team, they'd never seen anything like this before. They were looking at me, I was looking at them. And I've seen it over in Uganda and South Africa and South America, but it's not as prevalent here in America. And I went over to cast that out, and I looked, and her eyes were pitch black. And we prayed out, and she got set free. We set up another meeting. We set her free from all sorts of demons that had opened up in her life. And we're seeing that happen more and more, that God's raising up a deliverance ministry.
Yeah.
A deliverance ministry. And there are some things that counseling can't fix. Some people medicate their demons when they need to be cast out. I know this isn't popular preaching, and this can be taboo in today's society, but 1/3 of Jesus' ministry was casting out spirits. And we're having couples set up meetings with us. People set up meetings. I have voices of suicide. Can you take care of these voices? I'm hearing things. I have these, and we're laying hands on them, and they're being set free. We prayed for this one lady. Her and her husband have been going through counseling for the past 2 years, about to have a divorce. She goes, I don't know what else we can do beyond ask you and your wife to pray a deliverance prayer over us. And so we met with her first, and we began to go through different strongholds. And when we got to the spirit of Jezebel, she began to manifest. We cast it. I know it's Jezebel, because every time we pray over somebody, Jezebel begins to laugh. It's a creepy laugh. And so we're starting to cast so many demons that we know which demon this is. And we begin to pray over him, or we're going down the list. And when we got to Ahab, he began to manifest. And this is my heart for our church this year. Everybody in our church knows how to preach the gospel. Everybody in our church knows how to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. And everybody in our church knows how to cast out demons. You say, Landon, that is crazy. No, that's Jesus. No, Landon, that's why we have pastors. No, that's why you're a disciple.
Amen.
What we've done, we say, listen, that's not my responsibility. That's my pastor's responsibility. God gave me a vision. This was going to help sum it all up. I had this vision last week, and Jesus was outside the front doors of a church. And a pastor walked up and said, Jesus, thank you for coming. We've been advertising. You're going to be here. He said, if you wouldn't mind just putting this on, that would be awesome. And the pastor gave Jesus a straitjacket. And he said, if you don't mind putting that on, and he ushered him to a corner. He said, Jesus, we love your presence, but we're really kind of leery of your power. Because when your power shows up, things begin to happen that we can't explain. Jesus, we want you in the church. We just don't want you to have control of the church. And the sad part of it, that's a lot of believers here today. We love the presence of Jesus. We love worshiping and feeling his presence. But we get, it's like, Jesus, well, that's too much when you want the power of the Holy Spirit to flow through me. Like what happened to the upper room? You want me to be filled with fire and Holy Spirit power? You want me to preach the good news? And the problem is we've got bought into a lie that only pastors preach. Every person that has a relationship with God, you're called to preach too. And your stage doesn't look like this. Your stage looks like more where you work, more how you live, more how you treat people. And that's my heart for our church, and that's my heart for you guys, that you won't just settle for his presence, but you'll step into his power. We're doing a deliverance training on people because this is what we want to do. And currently we have 53 people signed up to be trained. And the truth of the matter is that the devil's real. Angels are real. And if an enemy is trying to attack your family, your home, your marriage, your life, your kids, you need to know how to take authority and bind him and cast him out of your house. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's what I see God doing. All right, I want to share this one thing. I was just going on a tangent. I'm sorry. All right, this is what I really want to share, okay? You know, the most expensive real estate is not the Packer Stadium. It's not high rises in New York. The most expensive real estate is your heart. How much does it cost? It costs so much God gave his own son to dwell in it. And one thing that God was speaking to me that I actually shared part of this to our church is that God wants to invade every area of your heart. Ezekiel 36 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you, and you will follow my decrees and carefully keep my laws. Tonight, really quickly, I want to share five things that will stop fire from coming in your heart. Five things that create you to have a hard heart towards the Lord. Can I do that? The first thing is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will stop God's favor from flowing in your life. Unforgiveness will stop healing from coming into your life. You know what unforgiveness is? It's when you put yourself in a jail cell and you give the person you're mad at the key. I've never seen a prison that didn't have a fence around it to keep people in or out. And unforgiveness pushes you away from God's, you know, the Bible says if you don't forgive them, God can't forgive you, right? And I really feel like the Lord says that I want to do things in people's lives, but first they have to forgive people that hurt them. They got to forgive their mom. They got to forgive their dad. They got to forgive things that's happened in their past. You know, if I live my whole life, if I'm driving and I'm constantly looking in the rearview mirror, I'm going to get in a wreck sooner than later. And that's what unforgiveness is. You're constantly looking in the rearview mirror and you can't move forward and do what God's called you to do. But there's going to be five things. This is the first thing. As I'm speaking on these things, the Holy Spirit's going to begin to point his finger on different areas in your life. And as he does, I want you to take a mental note, because here in a little bit, you're going to give an opportunity to make things right and say, God, I want to have a clean and a pure heart before you. Amen? I don't want to have a heart of stone. I ask, like David said this prayer, my wife and I say it every morning, God, give us clean hands and a pure heart. Renew a right spirit within me. God, I want to have a humble spirit. I want to have a teachable spirit. I want to have a flexible spirit. I want to say yes to whatever you ask me to do. Unforgiveness is really important. The second thing that Jesus wants to deal with is past trauma and abuse. There's a lady that goes to our church that she was telling me her story 3 or 4 months ago, and she said, I just didn't realize there's so much witchcraft that people are dealing with just in the Eau Claire area. But she said that her dad was into Satanism, and he abused her growing up. And she said when she turned 15, she decided to run away from home, and she went to Chicago. And she was homeless on the streets of Chicago, and then she got picked up and put into sex trafficking. And then she got addicted to drugs. And people would take her to these influential people's homes in Chicago and put her in a room, and guys would have their way with her and they would pay her with drugs. And she said, I thought, you know, my life was so terrible, I just wanted to kill myself. And she said, maybe if I just eat a lot of food and I gain a lot of weight, nobody will want anything to do with me. And then she said, that made it even worse. Then people just didn't even see me as human anymore. But she goes, I was going to an AA meeting, and this lady there began to teach and talk to me about Jesus. And there was something that she said about Jesus that resonated with my heart. And she said, you mean Jesus can take care of all the trauma that I've gone through in my past? Jesus can heal all those wounds? Jesus can forgive me of all my mistakes and everything? That she goes, yeah. She gave her life to Jesus. complete 360. Now she has a family. And now she has a ministry where she's bringing healing to other people. You see, Jesus wants to heal wounds from past abuse. You know, the Bible says that his heart breaks for you. When you hurt, he hurts. And the question is always asked, why does a good God allow bad things to happen to people? And the truth of the matter is we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's not just filled with God, it's filled with the devil. And the Bible says he came to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want you to know, if you've had trauma and abuse, Jesus is here to heal you, and it can be supernatural. I can't explain it. I've seen Jesus do in seconds what would take years of counseling to do. It's like you're talking about, we just believe it. We don't understand it. God called us to be believers, not understanders. Amen? Somebody gave a prophetic word over Wisconsin, and they said, one of the giants of the land is intellect. Intellect stops people from stepping into miracles. And intellect says, well, if we don't understand it, we're not going to allow it. But faith says, I don't have to understand it to believe it. Faith says God can do things outside of my understanding. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So the second thing that Jesus wants to heal is abuse. The third thing is fear of man. Everybody say fear of man. The number one reason I believe there are not more people winning people to the Lord is because of fear of man. How many of you have ever been in a situation where somebody is pouring out their heart to you and you know the Holy Spirit's telling you to tell them about Jesus? Has that ever happened to anybody but me? I had this situation when one day my wife and I, we lived in Texas, Dallas, Texas for a while. And one day I went to get gas in my car, and I went in to pay, and I saw some roses sitting next to the cash register, so I picked up one of the roses. I'm like, I'm going to get some brownie points with my wife. This is awesome, you know? Thank you, Lord. So I bought a rose, and as I was walking out, this older lady was walking in. And I heard the Lord say, Landon, give her the rose. And the thought that came in my mind by the spirit of fear of man was, God, if I give her a rose, there's going to be rumors go around the city that I'm having an affair with this lady. And people are like, you know that youth pastor in that city? I saw him handing roses to women in the gas station. And so what happened was I didn't do anything. I kept the rose and I drove off. And I heard the Lord say, Landon, I know you got that for your bride, but who's going to take care of mine? There comes a point where your love for Jesus and your love for people outweighs the fear of other people's opinion of you. And there comes a point where you have to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going to step over and past the reputation that I want to keep of myself. And people might think that I'm a little weird. People might think I'm a little crazy. But you know what? That's what they thought Jesus was too. Fear of man. I believe that this week, God's going to give you opportunities to love people, to encourage people, to pray for people. Don't let the spirit of fear stop you. Amen? Amen. There's other people here that you struggle with the fear of man, and you struggle with saying no. And because you want to please so many people, you put yourself in places where you're always overextending yourself because you want to please other people. And what happens is you wind up pleasing man more than you please God. Lord, this past, as I was putting this message together, one of the things I heard the Lord is that there are people that are working a career right now all because they didn't want to say no to somebody else. And somebody, counselor, somewhere along the way said, hey, you should probably do this with your life. And they said yes without even having to praying for God or asking God what they should do. And they're living a life they do not like, and they regret it because they're trying to please other people with their life. And ultimately, we're called to fear God more than we fear man. Amen? Like, I want to have a healthier, and it's not like some people said, well, is that even good? Like, why should you be afraid of God? Anybody ever heard of the fear of the Lord? And it's not like I'm afraid like he's going to squash me like a bug if I sin. The healthy fear is I'm afraid of my life without God. God, where would I be without you? What would my marriage look like without you? What would my relationship with my kids look like without you? Would I even be in the center of your will without you, Lord? God wants to set people free from the fear of man tonight. I love Galatians chapter 1, and it says this, verse 10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. The fear, Proverbs 29, 25, the fear of human opinion disables. Trusting God protects you from that. God wants to break the fear of man out of your life. God wants to break the fear of man out of you. How are you going to do what God's called you to do if you're walking on eggshells like you're afraid you're going to offend somebody? Can I tell you, the Bible offends people by itself? You don't have to worry about that. Listen, if you're obeying the word of God and you and God are good, that settles it. I'm not called to please people. I'm called to obey God. Amen? Amen? I realize that there's things that God's called me to take a stand for. And like, as a pastor, we're having to talk about things that are uncomfortable conversations, but I have to be obedient and say what God calls me to say. Now, I'm not here to preach down to people. I'm not here to hate. I'm called to love people because the Bible says it's the love of God that draws men to repentance. There's a way that you can love people and still speak the truth. The fourth thing I want to hit is rejection. Everybody say rejection. Rejection from family. Rejection from friends. There's a man who's an Orthodox Jew, I believe, that goes to our church. And I don't even know why he continues to come, because he still goes to the synagogue. And we had a meeting the other day. And I said, you know, I know you keep coming. Why do you keep coming? He goes, because whenever I come to this church, I feel something I don't feel when I go to the synagogue. I said, that's the presence of God. He goes, yeah, I think it is. He goes, when I leave the synagogue, I leave and I just feel like, man, I just wasted my like, why would I even come? When I come here, I feel this peace. I feel this joy, which is what the church should feel like. Amen. I feel something so awesome. And I said, why don't you just give your life to the Lord right now? And he said, if I gave my life to the world, my family would reject me. And I said, man, that opened up a piece of scripture I've never seen before. Unless you leave your father and your mother, you realize that some of the people that left their father and mother for Jesus rejected them. There's people in our church that grew up Amish. People in our church that they literally joining the church, their family shut them out of their life. And rejection is real. But I love this in Isaiah. It talks about Jesus and it says this. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering, familiar with pain. Jesus can relate to the rejection that you faced in your past. And I want you to know there's nothing too far broken that God can't restore. There might be broken relationships that you're praying for. I want you to know that God can restore those if you ask Him to. The fifth thing I want to talk about tonight is pride. Everybody say pride. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but like a normal man doesn't like to stop and ask for directions. Am I right? Like, we don't need maps. There's something about a man that's like, no, we're good. You know, like, it'll be an extra hour out of the way, just like something about men, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need that map, I don't need directions, I'm just going to figure out how to do it on my own. Pride is a big thing that really causes people's hearts to grow cold and to grow hard. You know, if pride will kick Satan out of heaven, pride will keep you out of heaven. Pride is a big one. You know, the number one reason people don't answer altar calls is pride. Well, what will people think about me? They're going to think that I'm messed up. They're going to think my life is all jacked. They're going to think that I'm weird. The truth of the matter is we're all messed up. Nobody's perfect but Jesus. We all need His help. Who would we be without Him? Where would we be without Him? And that's one thing that I ask God. God, I pray that I have a heart of humility. And I pray if there's any pride in my life, if I care more about what other people think about me than what you think about me, I'm dealing with pride. If I'm not obedient when God tells me to go, I'm dealing with pride. Pride comes up all over the place. But I want you to know, pride will stop God's favor from falling on you and doors opening. But there's something powerful that happens when you humble yourself before the Lord. And you say, here I am, God, send me. Use me. I've only been pastoring a year and a half, but I know this, there's a lot that I don't know. I don't know much at all. And I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I need Jesus, and you need Jesus in your life. You're not smarter than Jesus is. You're not smarter than the Holy Spirit. You need him in your life, and humility recognizes that, amen? I want to talk about, really quick, King Hezekiah. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, verse 24, it says, in those days, Hezekiah... Actually, let me back up. I want to talk about King Uzziah, and then I'll hit Hezekiah. King Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16, said, but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. Success is a double-edged sword. Sometimes God doesn't release success because success would crush you and you're not ready for it. That's why God takes people through wilderness seasons to see if he can truly trust them with success. He said, after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. You know how Uzziah died? He was struck with leprosy from disobeying God. Pride took him down. But then you have King Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 24, and it says, in those days, Hezekiah became ill, and he was at the point of death. But look at the difference. But he prayed to the Lord, who answered him and gave him a miraculous sign. Verse 26, then Hezekiah repented of the pride in his heart, as did the people of Jerusalem. Therefore, the Lord's wrath did not come to them in the days of Hezekiah. He repented of there's something, if you're dealing with pride, the way to get rid of it is repent of the pride in your heart. It's really simple. And say, God, I can't forgive myself. Only you can forgive me. I can't change my heart. Only you can change. But something supernatural happens when you repent to the Lord. He comes in and he takes the pride and he takes it out and he takes your heart of stone and put it in a heart of flesh. You know, Hezekiah, he died of natural causes, not of leprosy like the other king. God, give us humble hearts, amen? Just say, put your hand on your heart. Say, Jesus, put humility in my heart. Take care of any pride. Forgive me. We could have somebody come up on the keys. Pastor, you do it all. Okay, you come off the guitar, huh? Whenever I was graduating high school, my parents, they pastored a church for 12 years in Memphis, Tennessee. And right when the summer before I graduated, the Lord called my dad to go and move to Dallas, Texas and to plant a church. And so he told our family, God's called me to go and plant a church in Dallas area. And so that summer, I'm a pastor's kid. My parents were pastors. That summer, I had a lawn care business. I said, Dad, can I stay in Memphis while you go to Dallas and plant this church and work my business that summer? Because I was planning on going to Bible college that fall. And he said, sure, that'd be great. So I found a friend that goes to the church that my parents pastored. His name is Ross. And Ross said, Landon, I only have one rule for you if you're going to stay with me. I said, what's the rule? He goes, just be home before the sun comes up. I was like, man, that's an awesome rule. like freedom as a pastor's kid. You know what I mean? Like being sheltered your home life. Like, dude, this is awesome. I can do whatever I want to. Nobody even knows, you know? It was amazing. And I remember that summer, my parents moved down to plant a church. That summer, I stayed. And I began to do like the only like things that I wanted to do. I remember I found myself in places that I shouldn't have been, with people doing drugs they shouldn't have been doing, going to clubs I shouldn't have been doing. And all the whole time, this whole summer, I just pretty much turned my whole back on God and just did whatever I wanted to do. And the crazy thing is I would be going to these clubs or I'd be going to these places. People would be drinking. People would be getting crazy. And inside, I heard the Holy Spirit say, Landon, what are you doing here? This isn't my plan for you. This isn't what I've called. I've called you for so much more than this. And sometimes in your life, you'll find yourself in seasons of where the Holy Spirit say, what are you doing here? I've got so much more for you. And so that summer, I pretty much lived however I wanted to live. And I said, it's okay. I'm going to go to Bible college and Jesus will make it all right. I know that's not a spiritual thing to say. But I went to Bible college and it was connected to this church in Atlanta, Georgia. It was a 5,000-member church, and I remember, like, the pastor would preach, and the Holy Spirit would move, and I went down to the altar, and I remember I raised my hands up before the Lord in the altar, and the person to my right, there's tears coming down their face. They have their hands raised. The Holy Spirit's moving on them. The person to my left has their hands up, and there's tears coming down their face. The Holy Spirit's moving on them. I'm standing right here, and I have my hands up, and I don't feel anything. I feel nothing. And I realized my heart had grown so hard to God, I couldn't even feel His presence anymore. It'd be rock hard. And you know the Bible says that He's the potter and we're the clay? Well, when you're raw, your heart is so hard, He can't even shape your heart anymore. You're in trouble. And I said, Jesus, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to make this right? He said, Landon, for the next month, every service, I want you to go down to the altar. I want you to lay before me and just humble yourself. So I said, okay. So for the next 3 or 4 services, I'd go down to the altar. I would be the last person there. I would be laying on my face until the custodian would come with the vacuum. I would be right there just laying, God, forgive me. God, humble me. God, take away this hard heart that I have in my head. I know you can do it, Lord. It was like the 4th week that I did this. I'm sure people are thinking, what is wrong with that guy? Is he not sleeping at night? What's happening? He's always laying on the floor. The 4th Sunday, I was laying and I was humbling myself before the Lord. And I remember I was just laying there. And I felt somebody's hand touch my back. And it felt like fire. And the next thing I know, fire goes through my whole body and something breaks on the inside of me. And I just begin to weep before the Lord. And for 2 or 3 hours, I laid there just weeping and weeping. What was God doing? He was turning my heart of stone into a heart of flesh. He was turning my heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And I want you to know, if you're here today, Jesus wants to have access to every area of your heart. Every area of your heart. He can turn. It's supernatural. When you just surrender to Him, when you humble yourself, you get rid of the pride, He begins to heal everything that's happened. He takes care of your fear of man. He takes care of past abuse. He takes care of everything that you've walked through. Can you stand with me? He'll take care of rejection that's happened in your past. He'll take care of unforgiveness that's happened in your heart. If that's you, and one of those 5 things stuck out to you, you say, you know what, I want Jesus to have every area of my heart. If the Holy Spirit was moving and speaking to you about unforgiveness, about abuse, about pride, about rejection, about fear of man, I want everybody right now, close your eyes. If that's you, one of those 5 things spoke to you, that's because the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of your heart right now. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you, you say, one of those things, man, I know Jesus wants to deal with me tonight. Just raise your hand right now across the room. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's walk through forgiveness right now, can we? Everybody stretch your hands forward. This is a word for somebody. The Lord just spoke it to me. There's some people that need to forgive past leaders of churches that hurt you, and you walk through spiritual abuse, the church hurt, I don't know, it could be more than one church hurt you. And I hear the Lord saying, that was never him, that was religion. And that he loves you. And he's going to cause you to fall back in love with the church. Right now, if you're dealing with unforgiveness for anybody, just everybody close your eyes and say, Holy Spirit, show me who I need to forgive. Now he's going to start showing faces. He's going to start showing faces. So repeat this. Say, dear Jesus, I forgive. And say their name. And say, I release them to you. Come on. There's going to be more than one. There's going to be more than one. Say, as the names come, Jesus, I forgive my mom. Jesus, I forgive my dad. Jesus, I forgive whoever, I release them to you. And say, Jesus, put a love in my heart for them. Right now, we thank you, Lord, that you're washing people right now from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. If we could have a prayer team come up to the front. I see the Lord pouring out healing on people right now. Healing on people right now. Healing on people right now. If you are here and you raise your hand, one of those five things, what I want to do is I want to invite you down. And I want the prayer team to ask you, hey, what is it that spoke to you? And they're going to pray over you. And Jesus is going to come in. He's going to remove whatever it is. Amen? There's something powerful about somebody laying hands on you and praying for you. Don't let pride keep you in your seats. If there's anything, don't let pride, because that's good. That's the devil stopping you from being free. Amen? If that was you, you raise your hand. I want you to come to the front right now. While you're waiting for somebody to pray for you, just lift your hands up and just begin to worship the Lord. Just spend some quiet time with the Lord right now.
Yeah!